Hello, Dog Days listeners and Dog Days podcasters. This is Chuck Tomasi coming to you once again from Hudson, Wyoming, where it is now just after 10 p.m. on a Sunday night, August 20th. That is correct. And that makes this the 20th day of Dog Days Podcasting Challenge. Oh, what a great Sunday. Great Sunday. I did not get to partake in everything that I had wanted to do, but partake in everything I needed to do. That means that I did not get to go to Thermopolis with my wife and kids, but that's fine because they had a full vehicle anyway. And with her, my wife's sister and nephew's child, which would make first cousin once removed, whatever it is. They had a full vehicle with our two daughters. They went, and Thermopolis is kind of a neat place. It's a little bit like Yellowstone. There's some travertines, and there's some hot springs, and you can go swimming in some of the hot springs, and they channel them into public pools, and it's a lot of fun. I've been there a couple of times in years past, but what I really needed to do was read up as much as I could from Jill Tarter's book, actually the book about Jill Tarter, and so that I'd have some material to do the interview. And originally the interview was scheduled for 4:30 p.m., but she contacted me via email just before noon and said, can we change it to 3:30? I said, yes, I can do that. So that worked out well, but it cut some of the reading time. I'd originally planned on getting about 5 or 6 hours of reading into the book. I only got about 2.5. But I did what I could with what I had, and I was feverishly scratching down notes, and I was sending out questions to Twitter and Facebook saying, hey, I'm interviewing Jill Tarter from SETI this afternoon. Do you want to ask any questions? Unfortunately, we had 30 minutes of interview time, which is about what I counted on anyway. But the conversation was so much fun. That time just went right by, and I didn't get hardly anything that I wanted to talk about. It was just sort of a natural conversation. I did throw in a couple of, oh, and getting back to SETI, and oh, and back to your career, and when you were younger. So it kind of jumped all over the place, but it was fun. She then we said goodbye. I did get to meet her husband and her daughter and her granddaughter, who was also there. They live locally, and that's the connection that got me to do this, because Jill's daughter, Shauna, works at the same place as my sister-in-law. So Donna's sister works at Knowles, NOLS.edu. Where is it? There we go. They both work for Knowles, and Knowles set this up. So she did a presentation tonight. That's what they didn't set up the podcast. That was sort of an afterthought. Because when we said, hey, we're coming to Wyoming, my sister-in-law, Terry, said, by the way, Jill Tarter from SETI's coming out to do a presentation. Do you guys all want tickets? And we said, sure, we'll go see her do a presentation. It was called The Eclipse, The Eclipse, The Universe, and You? Oh, someone's turning in here. Oh, I think it's my nephew going to his driveway. I am out by the highway, by the way, just maybe a few thousand feet from their house. Oh, no, they're not turning. And my normal reading light is off, so I had to wander over a little bit. I found a flashlight in the vehicle to find this. So anyway, we got this interview hooked up, thankfully, through the connections. And Jill was very accommodating with her time, and I tried to be as flexible as possible. I was looking around. I arrived a little early in Lander, which is about 15 minutes from where my sister-in-law lives. I was thinking, I should get her a present, a thank you, some sort of token for doing this. She didn't have to. She's got a very busy schedule. She's only here for a few days like we are. And I couldn't find anything wandering around the shops and whatnot. Lander is probably 3 times as busy as it usually is because of all the eclipse tourists. And we did the interview, and then it dawned on me towards the end, she was kind enough to sign the book that I had purchased, and I said, well, why don't I sign her a punch card? Because she's been in astronomy for a long time. She recognized punch cards. She'd her first assignment as when it was on a PDP-8, although it wasn't punch card driven. She had been using them for data entry in the past. And I said, well, I'll get you a new bookmark. How's that? And I wrote on it, thank you, Jill, for being such an awesome guest on Technorama Podcast. And I signed it Chuck and Craig. So it was a lot of fun. We had a good time. Again, I got to meet her husband, Jack. And yes, it's Jack and Jill, but they prefer Jill and Jack. And her daughter, Shauna, and their daughter, Lee. Lee is a local student at the high school, which is where Dr. Tartar had done her presentation this evening. We went to that, and it was a lot of fun. At first, I thought it was going to be kind of basic, because she started out with some real basic stuff. You know, the basic, this is the sun, this is the moon, this is how eclipses happen. Every once in a while, you get an annular eclipse, which is when the moon is further away in its elliptical orbit and doesn't quite cover the sun. We get a lot of those. And she said, make your reservations now. The next one is April 8th, 2024. Like I said, coming up through Texas and stretching across, actually up to Lake Erie. It's going to make that kind of path from southwest to northeast, whereas this one's going from northwest to southeast. Kind of interesting how it takes different patterns at different times. And she was explaining the basic physics behind that and then transitioned into that this is how we thought all planets would, or how solar systems would be. And then we found, I don't recall what the first planet was called, the first exoplanet. But she said there were two game changers in my career in the last 20 or 30 years. One was exoplanets and the other extremophiles. So she transitioned into that. Very good talk. It started to get deeper and deeper. And then towards the end, she said, you know, this is how we're searching for life on other planets. And the, what do they call them? Cosmobiologist, I can't remember the name now. And she said, they're looking for traces of oxygen and, you know, anything that might possibly harbor or nurture organic life. And then she got into, they stop when it comes to possibly microbes. I want to find out if there's any technical people out there, or any technical civilizations that are out there. And then she got into SETI. So it was a very small segment of the overall presentation, which I thought was great. The way that the presentation flowed and went through, there was one point where her microphone didn't work right at first, and she said, story of my life, no signal. And everybody laughed at that. So she had a couple of humorous moments that were really funny, even at the end when I think she disconnected her laptop after the Q&A was over and just went on the audio system for maybe a second. I went, whoa, we have signal. Some of the people got a good laugh out of that too. So it was a lot of fun. I have emailed her back, said great talk. Her daughter got to introduce her at the beginning, her granddaughter, Lee, probably 14, 15 years old, got to introduce her. And she did a great job. And so great, in fact, that I sent her a mail tonight and said, hey, is there a way I can get that intro for Technorama so that I can put that on the front end of and give her a proper introduction to the Technorama interview that we did this afternoon. So very thankful for them. Got to recognize a number of the family members again tonight. So it was fun going, hey, there's her husband. Hey, there's her daughter. And it was funny because when I walked in first to say, hey, I'm Chuck Tomasi from Technorama, the connection here is that my sister-in-law, Terry, also works here. And they go, oh, yeah, Terry, the buck stops her with her because she's the controller. She had a funny story that really rang true and kind of brought all this SETI stuff home. Is they used, one of these online ticketing places to organize the tickets. And somebody said, well, how do we get our money out of this online ticket place? And they said, oh, Terry will know, Terry being the controller. And they went up to Terry and said, how do we get our money? And she said, how am I supposed to know? Because somebody didn't tell her ahead of time. She said, if you'd worked with me ahead of time, I could have helped you set that up and arrange this. I don't know whose credit card this is under. I don't know whose account this is under. I don't know if they hooked it up to a PayPal account. How am I supposed to know this? You know, it's why you got to work with the right people early up front. The good news is that the event was sold out. It was only $5 for an adult ticket, but a high school auditorium that seats probably, I'm thinking 1,000? 500 to 1,000 people were in there. Hey, at $5, that's not chump change. They probably could have got more, but I'm sure they wanted to draw public interest, and you got to consider the audience. You're in Lander, Wyoming. You're also at a peak publicity time with a solar eclipse. So that was a lot of fun. I got my interview, and I got to do the presentation, and hopefully I'll get the intro from her in the next day or so. And I am on to read the story from 30 years ago. This is my mission for the Dog Days of Podcasting, is reading one story, or maybe two, if they're short, from 30 years ago when my wife and I were dating in 1987. This is message number 476 in the Ramblings subboard, a.k.a. room, if you've used bulletin boards back then. They used to call rooms. May 27, 1987, 8:52 Eastern Daylight Time. Subject, 7 days with D makes 1 week, W-E-A-K. We have actually, by some strange miracle, been able to see each other every day for a week now. I thought there would be a missed day in there somewhere. Monday, we went to see my dad's mother and sisters in Hermansville. Dee learned what it was like to eat at their houses. If you make that circuit, you don't need to eat for a week. One of my aunts kept asking me, "How's the love life in Marquette?" I always had to answer, "Kind of slow this time of year," no matter what time of year it was. This time, Dee was able to join us, and no excuses were needed. Monday went well with the relatives, and when we got back, Dee and I went to the drive-in to see what else, Star Trek IV, and The Golden Child was a double feature. That was a mistake. The movies were fine, but after being on the boat all morning, visiting with family, and then driving the rest of the time, I should mention that my aunt and grandmother lived about an hour and a half away from us, so by the time you get there, do your thing, get back, it was a full day. And then we went out to a double feature. Okay, back to the story. We should have saved the movie for another time, but you know how people are when they're in love. A little senseless sometimes. There go the UPS trucks. Just thought I would break things up a bit. So while we worked at the Computerland store, about 9 a.m., the UPS trucks would come down the hill. We used to call them the UPS truck races. So they came down the hill while I was writing this. Tuesday, I felt rotten and was only at work for 3 hours, and then I went home and rested all afternoon. When I woke up at 5, I felt better. So good, in fact, that I went out to Dee's house and spent the evening with her. We went for a walk down the road and spent a lot of time getting to know each other better. And in parentheses, it says, not necessarily talking. Today she might come to Marquette for a while because her brothers or sisters have some appointments. I will try to stay at work so I can get some money on this poor excuse of a paycheck. But when Dee shows up, who knows what will happen. We shall see. McCoy out. So there you have it. Tomorrow is Eclipse Day. I don't think I quite have the bandwidth to do a live cast, unfortunately. But I will likely record some video clips and edit those together ASAP afterwards. So, stay tuned. That has been your freestyle report for Sunday, August 20th, 2017. I will see you later. And let's see. Did we use keep wearing those pajamas yet? I did like Mark's. Mark's response to mine was a bit freaky because I was driving back from doing the interview. And I was listening, but he suddenly broke the fourth wall with me and said, "And Chuck, I don't have anything at the end, so you can't steal it." It just kind of freaked me out as I was driving down the road to listening to the podcast, and then he breaks that fourth wall. So thank you, Mark, for keeping me attentive and bursting into my real world. I am signing out. Take care. Have fun, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.